Thanks, Matt, and welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra's management surprised just about everybody last week, including the musicians in the BSO, when they abruptly canceled concerts and events that had been scheduled in late June, July, and August. The players were told that they would not be paid until they resume rehearsals in September. That's as of June 16th, I believe. This surprise announcement comes with news that Governor Larry Hogan has not yet released the first part of a two-year, $3.2 million supplemental grant from the state to the BSO. So tomorrow we'll hear from representatives of the players and the BSO management, as well as Nicholas Cohen. He's the executive director of Maryland Citizens for the Arts, an organization which advocates for arts groups throughout the state. So that's coming up tomorrow on Midday. Now we turn to the future of the storied Pimlico Racecourse, home of the Preakness Stakes, the race that is the second jewel in horse racing's Triple Crown. Pimlico opened its doors in 1870, making it the second oldest racetrack in the country, and it is now, by all accounts, badly deteriorated. The Preakness Stakes has been run in Baltimore City since 1873. That's 2 years longer than the Kentucky Derby has been at Churchill Downs. So the question now is, will next year's Preakness be its last in Baltimore? The Stronach Group, which owns Pimlico, wants to move the Preakness to its more modern facility in Laurel. Yitzi Schleifer represents the 5th District on the Baltimore City Council, which includes Pimlico Racecourse in Northwest Baltimore. How you doing? Good to see you.
Good. Good to see you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Senator Bill Ferguson represents Maryland's 46th District in Baltimore City. He is Vice Chair of the Senate Budget and Taxation Committee. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Doug Donovan is an investigative reporter at the Baltimore Sun who has written extensively about Pimlico. Welcome back to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, if you'd like to weigh in on your thoughts about the future of the Preakness, the future of Pimlico, and the future of Park Heights. Our phone number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWYPR, and we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page, so you can catch all of the action live from Studio A. Doug Donovan, let's start with you. You had a piece a few days ago in The Sun about members of the General Assembly urging the Stadium Authority to look into Stronach. What do they hope the authority will do?
Yeah, the heads of the delegation in Baltimore City, Cheryl Glenn and Antonio Hayes, wrote a letter to the Maryland Racing Commission saying it's time for the commission to step up and start regulating the Stronach Group, which owns Pimlico and Laurel Park. Time to step up and start being more of a regulatory body. Their argument being that the Stronach Group has been spending the bulk of its state subsidies, which are set aside specifically for renovating the tracks. They've been spending the bulk of that money on Laurel Park rather than on Pimlico. And so they think that there's a lot to be discovered in the, you know, the revenue reports from Stronach. They want to know, like, where's the money going? The money that, you know, comes to Stronach in this form of state subsidies, but then also just how Stronach spends the money that they make running their races here. They think the Racing Commission really needs to dig into that.
And Senator Ferguson, what do you think we don't yet know about the Stronach Group? I mean, people have been looking into it. Doug and his colleagues at The Sun have written about extensively about what they're spending on Laurel versus what they're spending on Pimlico, and it's not even close in terms of the amounts. What do you think we can find out?
I don't think it's about what we don't know. I think it's more about what we absolutely know, and it's that this is not a problem that just arose in the last year, 2 years. The conditions of the Pimlico site have been known since 2003, when the Stronach Group's initial business entity purchased this along with Bowie and Laurel. And at that time, back in 2003, commitments were made to the state, to the city, about what this private property owner would do to improve the race course. There was a new commitment made in 2007, another one made in 2011. And what we've seen since 2003 is allowing a facility to intentionally go into disrepair. So now we talk about a crisis, but this was known from the very day, 2003, that it was purchased initially. Because commitments were made. That was the condition of the purchase, was that the facility would be improved. So I think now we know more explicitly what the Stronach Group's ultimate intent is, and that is to shutter the race course at Pimlico. And now the question for all of us is, where do we go from here?
And Councilman Schleifer, they have spent, Stronach has spent 87% of taxpayer subsidies and grants on Laurel, 13% on Pimlico. Is that illegal?
So it's my understanding that it's not illegal because when the funds were set up originally, there was not a designated amount that needed to be spent at either of the locations. And so I think they just took advantage of the fact that it wasn't put into the law at the time, and they exploited that and basically just spent all the money over in Laurel.
So what sort of leverage does the city of Baltimore or the state of Maryland have in terms of obliging them to spend at least some of the taxpayer money improving Pimlico?
So as far as our leverage, I mean, the only leverage we really have is the fact that in the law, the Preakness has to stay in Baltimore. I think besides that, just working with them on a plan would be the only path forward, but that's really the only leverage that we have.
And Doug Donovan, the plans, there were many plans at one point, and now it seems to have glommed into one plan. Where's the status of that? There was a report that was issued over a period of years in two parts suggesting what should be done with Pimlico. What's the most recent status of that report?
My understanding is that the report that came out through the Maryland Stadium Authority estimated that the cost of renovating or completely rebuilding Pimlico would be about $400-some million. Stronach saying that they can't afford to do that, and they would rather spend state bonds on rehabbing Laurel Park and the Bowie Racing Facility. So in Annapolis this year, there was two competing bills. One was to create a study group specifically to look at how Pimlico could be rebuilt based on the findings of the Maryland Stadium Authority. On the flip side, Stronach was pushing a bill with Anne Arundel County lawmakers backing it to get this bonding authority to help accelerate the renovations at Laurel Park and Bowie, which would eventually, set aside Pimlico and the Preakness. But, I mean, the law that says Preakness has to run in at Pimlico does have a disclaimer. It says unless there's an emergency or a disaster, and what the lawmakers were telling the Racing Commission is that they feel that Stronach Group is creating that disaster and that it's an inevitability if they continue to not spend on the renovations. And we saw some of that this year. Prior to the Preakness, they closed nearly 7,000 seats, an entire section of the old grandstand, a month before their biggest event, before the biggest weekend with the Black Eyed Susan and the Preakness. So their engineering report says those seats were not capable of bearing the weight of the fans that were going to be there. So that, to me, or to the lawmakers, indicates that it's already falling apart to the extent that they can't even put people in the seats.
And Senator Ferguson, the sentiment of the Senate and the General Assembly statewide, obviously the Baltimore City delegation is working very hard to keep it here in Baltimore, but how do you gauge the support for that idea outside of the city?
I mean, I think it's really challenging, right? I mean, the city certainly has a lot of needs and priorities, and so there, the context in which this decision is being made is tough. It's tough to see additional subsidies going into horse racing when we know that we have schools and infrastructure and issues around public safety that need investment in implementing the consent decree. I do want to push back on one piece of the study aspect. The Stronach Group was a part of the Stadium Authority study from day one. What has become abundantly clear is that their part in that study seemingly was to drive the cost up to make it seem impractical. At the end of the day, this is private property with a private property owner who has a public racing license. But this isn't a public works project. It's not the burden of the city or state to figure this out. When the private owner with its private property agreed to take on the license and run the Preakness at Pimlico, they made a public commitment and received public dollars for that commitment. What we know is that over the last 16 years, that commitment has not been fulfilled. The burden should not be on the state and the city to figure this out. It should be on the private operator who has private profits from these operations to figure out the solution that they said that they would commit to 16 years ago.
And Councilman Schleifer, it's not the case that they would do all of it, whatever they decide to do. But how does that number that Doug Donovan alluded to a minute ago, which folks have been bandying about, of $424 million to renovate Pimlico? It wouldn't be just a race course. It would be Pimlico, a race course plus a bunch of stuff. But how does that number strike you? Does that seem like what it really would cost? Or is, in fact, are there solutions that are much less expensive.
I think most people get sticker shock when they hear that figure. Once you dive a little deeper into what that actually means and what the money's going towards, I think the honest figure is far less, because it's not going to cost $424 million to run the Preakness at Pimlico. We're talking about an entire redevelopment of the site. And so with the track or not, there's still certain costs that you're going to have regardless, such as the, you know, roughly $150 million for infrastructure that the previous mayor had committed would likely be funded in the form of a TIF. You have demolition funds, which would have to be spent anyways, no matter what happened on the site. And so that's another $20 million. Then they talk about some other figures, like to make the site more attractive for development, you know, moving the direction of the track so that you'd have more square and rectangle parcels as opposed to a bunch of, triangles. And so that's $30 million. So really, when it comes down to it, you're talking about half the money is going to be spent regardless. And then we shift over and we say, okay, what's the other $200 million for? And so the Stadium Authority provided a strategy which I believe, and many others believe, can be toned down tremendously and can be reduced in size to have some fixture that would be there year-round, which would house many different assets to the community. And so once you start looking at that and you have a toned-down version of what that facility would look like and what the uses are, I think that you'd find is that a lot of those uses would cover the general operating expenses and the bond repayments that would need to take place on that. So I think we're really looking at a far lower number to redevelop that site than what's initially proposed.
Tom, can I add a quick addition here? And I know that this is something that the councilman cares deeply about. I think fundamentally here it is often about horse racing. Really, in my mind, it is about what does the region look like? And the loss of the Preakness from Baltimore is more than just about horse racing. It is about a statement about Baltimore and the region. We know what happens when the Stronach Group leaves a racing facility. It's happened in the state of Maryland. There is a racetrack, the training facility, Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a colleague, Senator Doug Peters, who fought for years in the legislature, introduced bills because what happened when the Stronach Group owned that property is they let it sit vacant for nearly 20 years. They had to put a bill in the legislature just to get them to cut the grass. So the biggest loss here with the loss of the Preakness is an 8-foot chain link fence being put around a private piece of property and letting sit in the middle of Park Heights for 20 years with nothing happening. I think that's what we're really talking about. And we have to be very concerned because we know what's already happened at Bowie.
Senator Bill Ferguson represents the city and the Maryland General Assembly. He's a vice chair of the Senate Budget and Taxation Committee. Yitzi Schleifer is a 5th District councilman from the city of Baltimore. And Doug Donovan is an investigative reporter at the Baltimore Sun. We're talking about the Preakness. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number here is 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. To drop us a tweet, it's @midday WYPR. You can check us out on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming as well. And Doug Donovan, back in March, you did an analysis of what Stronach was spending on Laurel versus what it's spending on Pimlico. And it was interesting that it seemed to catch a number of folks, even in the legislature, by surprise. I mean, and they're the ones that, you know, are allocating this money year after year.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising that it was a surprise to everybody that they were spending about 87% of the renovation funds at Laurel Park rather than at Pimlico. And that is a question for City Hall and for city leadership. Why wasn't this brought up before now? I'm sure there's an answer to that that these two lawmakers might know in terms of like who was watching Stronach, who was determining whether or not they should be spending more at Pimlico. If these numbers are out there, they're public record, they were reported every year. And since we don't have somebody from Stronach, I would say to what was just said by Senator Ferguson, that they want to talk. They say they want to talk to City Hall. They want to sit down with City Hall. They want to come up together with some sort of a plan that would benefit the entire community. This is what they say. But they feel like because City Hall has filed a lawsuit against them, they really can't have those discussions moving forward. And I think they've been critical of the past mayor for not having sort of shown any particular leadership in terms of what she would have liked to seen happen with Pimlico. So, I mean, the flip side of the Stronach Group is that they claim that they're not going to let it sit there. They want to renovate it, that, you know, it's in their best economic interest to do so.
And we should mention that we here at Midday reached out to Stronach and asked for a guest to appear on the program, or asked for them to give us a statement about their current feelings, and they declined that offer in both instances. We have a ping from Nicholas on Facebook. Honestly, 363 days of the year, what benefit does Pimlico bring to the community in which it resides? It seems it just takes money away from the city with no return. So Yitzi Schleifer, the argument for Pimlico isn't about horse racing. It's also about Park Heights. It's about the tradition of the Preakness, but it's more than just this tradition.
Right, and this whole plan, we're not talking about 2 days a year. What we're advocating for, what we're talking about, is 365 days a year. We're talking about making this site an economic driver for the entire region. We're talking about reducing the unemployment rate around the track to basically zero. I mean, if you drive within a few blocks of the track right now, you'll see a lot of able-bodied people who just are hanging out, who don't have employment opportunities. Turning this site into an economic driver would essentially employ everybody in that area. I mean, we're talking about creating thousands of jobs overall in the entire project, as well as, you know, what would be on the grounds there. So we're not talking about 2 days a year. That's a misconception. What we're focused on as city leadership, we're focused on what's going to be for the entire year, the 365 days, and what it can do for the region, and how can we deliver on those promises that were made to the Park Heights community for decades that simply were not delivered.
And Senator Bill Ferguson, there are estimates from the Stadium Authority that the Preakness and Pimlico generate some $52 million of economic impact annually. Does that continue if it's not just a racetrack? Does it go up because there are things happening on other days besides Preakness weekend?
I mean, I think it's hard to predict entirely what happens without a race course there. I mean, what we do know is that there is a net positive impact to the city's public budget, as well as the sort of spin-off private benefit, despite it only being 3 days a year or 4 days a year of major activity. There are other things that happen, but it is a net positive. The loss of that and moving to Laurel means all of that economic activity moves to DC, essentially. So, you know, if we really want to invest in Maryland, we invest in Pimlico. If we invest in Laurel, it's really an investment in DC.
But is there a way of having a development that includes, as I understand it, we're talking about a hotel and a bunch of retail stores and maybe some apartments and, you know, places for people to hang out. Ball fields has been one of the things that people have mentioned, as well as a racetrack that they can race on once a year. Yeah, you can make money that way.
The key is to find a financing plan, right? And that's the ultimate crux, is that there are a lot of vacant parcels in the Park Heights area that have not turned into the ball fields, mixed use development. But what is key is to have a driver for economic development, and that's why the race course has been a critical component, because it's the one thing that you can attract economic activity if you know for 3 days a year there are going to be 100,000 people coming. The key is to find the link that is the magnet. Sinai wants to expand their hospital presence. There are a number. We need a grocery store. There are a number of things that are potentially viable. The racetrack is sort of that economic magnet that will bring them there. And so that's why it is really a bigger issue than just about a horse race. It is about what do we believe in the potential of the community's economic future.
Senator Bill Ferguson represents the city in the Maryland General Assembly, the city of Baltimore, that is. He's vice chair of the Senate Budget and Taxation Committee. Doug Donovan is an investigative reporter at the Baltimore Sun. And Councilman Yitzi Schleifer represents the 5th Councilmanic District here in Charm City. And that includes Pimlico Racecourse in Northwest Baltimore. We will have more about the future of Pimlico when we come back from a quick break. Our number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWIPR. To follow me on Twitter, it's @TomHallWIPR. And you can also catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. Before we go to a break, on Mondays here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of the people who've lost their lives to violence in the previous week. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. We get their names from Ellen Worthing, who has compiled a list of Baltimore homicide victims going back 18 years. We also consult the Baltimore Sun's list of homicides and with victim identifications that are posted on the Baltimore Police Department's Facebook page. So far in 2019, 129 people in our city have lost their lives to violence. Police have issued identities or released the identities of three of those victims whose deaths were reported in the 2 weeks before last. Their names are Frederick Nelson, age 35, Corey Cawthorn, age 41, and Dominique Foster. She was 43 years old. This past week, police reported eight people lost their lives to violence. Five of those victims have been identified as of today. They are Daryl Fordham Jr., age 28, Todd Davis, age 35, David McCall, age 28, Jennifer Velasquez, she was 19 years old, and Elsie Cotman, she was 2 months old. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. If you're just joining us, we're discussing the future of Pimlico Racecourse and of the Preakness Stakes, the race that is the second jewel in the Triple Crown. The Preakness has been run in Baltimore City since 1873, and whether or not it will continue to be run at Pimlico after next year is an open question. My guests are Maryland Senator Bill Ferguson. He's the vice chair of the Senate Budget and Taxation Committee. He proposed a bill in this year's General Assembly to address the problems at Pimlico. That bill passed in the Senate, but didn't make it through the House. Baltimore City Councilman Yitzi Schleifer's district includes Pimlico Racecourse, and Doug Donovan is here as well in Studio A. He's an investigative reporter at the Baltimore Sun who has covered the many machinations surrounding Pimlico for a long time. To join our conversation, 410-662-8780. To send us an email, we're at midday@wipr.org. To drop us a tweet, @MiddayWIPR. And thanks to our good friend Jemima Kremple, you can catch us on the WIPR Facebook page as well. So, Yitzi Schleifer, if it's not $424 million, it's still going to be a lot of money. Does the big price tag here, you've made the case that it's justified because of the employment that it would create and the fact that it would rejuvenate an area of Park Heights that is in need of that. But how does it get done? I mean, where does the money ultimately come from? Because Stronach isn't going to put all or perhaps even most of private money into this project.
So, I mean, the plan would have to obviously, as Senator Ferguson said, would be a financing play. And so their involvement would have to, at the very least, be giving forward their land to be developed. And they've said on multiple occasions that they're willing to do so. It would then involve the $200 million worth of different tasks that I named before. So the infrastructure that would have to happen no matter what you would build on the site, the demolition that you'd have to have. And then there's the other expenses such as the Civic Center. And so that would obviously have to be something that would come through state bonds, but there would be other financing involved depending on what kind of uses. So we're talking about some commercial uses on the commercial corridors, like you mentioned, the hotel. And then we have our anchor institution, Lifebridge, which is already expanding on the property and could expand even more if they were partnering up as part of a bigger picture. And so there will be multiple different sources of funds to do so. But this isn't a site that wouldn't be self-sustaining. I mean, this is something that there would be uses there that would be contributing towards making these payments. And so it appears that any significant development project in the city in recent years, unfortunately, had been done through TIFs and other financing options.
And what do you think the appetite for a TIF is at this juncture? I mean, given the conversation surrounding Port Covington, which was the largest TIF in the city's history, and that's just a couple of years ago.
Sure. So we haven't gone through a TIF yet in this term, in my first term, but I've always said that TIFs should when they're utilized, should be used in places where we need the development and where we need something to take place. And so the Pimlico Racetrack is the perfect site for different financing options in order to bring the much-needed development. And so right now, my district is the third highest revenue generator for the city behind the two downtown districts. And so you got to build from those strengths, and you don't want to lose some more of that tax base that we've lost. And so if we were looking at an 8-foot fence, it would significantly bring down all the neighborhoods around there. And so this is an opportunity and a site where we need to see a redevelopment of that site. And so if there's any place to do it, this is the place.
We have a bunch of folks in line on the phones. Let's start with Vince in Perry Hall. Vince, welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I was wondering if the question was imposed to relocate the Pimlico Race Course or a facility like that down in the Inner Harbor, like Raven Stadium, Memorial Stadium. And, of course, look what happened to Memorial Stadium site that's been redeveloped and a very attractive place in the community. The racing and the adult entertainment that can be added to the city's attractions would be phenomenal. Instead of maybe getting 100,000, you get 200,000 people to attend a Pimlico-style Preakness race downtown. And what a nice attraction for restaurants and hotels and things like that.
All right. Well, thanks for that call, Senator Ferguson. I mean, is it the Pimlico got to stay in Park Heights, or can it be moved?
No, I believe it's got to be there. I got where it is today. I mean, I think, look, before the break, you read off names of too many young people that have been killed. One of what we know to be a driving issue in the city of Baltimore is around economics and opportunity. Fundamentally, we need more people with good jobs. And if we look at where that investment is happening, it needs to happen in places like Park Heights. And there, I sort of get the sort of short term, we'll put it where there's some success. At the end of the day, we have got to prove in a city like Baltimore that we can invest in every neighborhood. And that's what this represents, is whether or not we're going to give up on the city of Baltimore. And fundamentally, I know the councilman won't, I won't, and our colleagues won't. We just believe in the potential too much.
We have a tweet from Edward who says, please at least acknowledge that horse racing as a sport exists primarily as a conduit to provide massive tax breaks to a small subculture within the ranks of the super rich. So there's a narrative about horse racing, and of course, horse racing itself as the horse racing industry, particularly this year, has been racked by all sorts of problems. There's this track out in California in which two dozen horses have died. There was a horse that died at Pimlico this year, the day before the Preakness. Doug Donovan, what's your read about sort of public sentiment for this particular industry, horse racing, having received so many subsidies for so long, generations?
Well, what comes to mind for me is, why isn't there discussion about a plan without a track? I mean, I haven't really seen that out there at all. There's got to be some sort of an economic development plan that doesn't include a track. And if not, it seems like there should be. I mean, if racing isn't going to be around forever, which some people say because of the deaths of horses and animal rights activists and just the popularity of the sport itself, maybe a longer term vision, not just the least of all, subsidizing a sport that, benefits people who own horses, which are typically richer people. So why not look at a plan that doesn't include a track? You have the leverage now, I feel like, that they want to consolidate their horse racing down in Laurel. So they would seem to be like they'd want to make a deal. And so you have that leverage now. I don't think Sinai is like looking to expand because horse racing is there. I think there's other ways you could probably redevelop it. This don't seem to be part of the public conversation right now.
And Yusty Slaver, what do you think? I mean, is Pimlico needs to stay Pimlico in a racetrack because of the tradition, or is the racing dimension of it really part of the economic argument for renovating?
Well, look, when it comes to Sinai and Lifebridge, I mean, they're looking to expand and they want partners there. So they don't want to be expanding against an 8-foot fence. But when it comes to available acreage in that area, I mean, we have the Park Heights Master Plan area that currently is available, and there's been RFPs that have been put out in recent years that have not been, there hasn't been any successful bidders on. And so those who have already come forward, who have talked about different investment opportunities and developing on the site there, have all been speaking about how having the track and having this Super Bowl on that site would be a tremendous anchor to it. Now, if there were people who were coming forward and saying that they're looking for open land, I mean, there's open land in, you know, within blocks from that site that you can essentially build any type of development you're looking to build. There's plenty of space.
We got another email from Matt who says, for years there was an argument that we needed slots and other types of gambling to be brought to Trax for the Trax survival amongst competition with Trax and other states. Why was the only casino permit for Baltimore used downtown for the pretty much lackluster Horseshoe Casino? There's no hotel, and it's not really upscale, and it's pretty generic when it could have been used at Pimlico. So there's another person talking about, you know, bringing it downtown. Let's go to the phones to Clem in Baltimore. Clem, welcome to Midday.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm listening to y'all. You're talking a perfect stew for gentrification. What kind of plans do you have to protect the residents from displacement?
All right, thanks for that call, Clem. Councilman Schleifer?
So we're looking to build up the neighborhoods around the track, and so we have really strong communities surrounding the track, and so this development would be done with the community and would be to solve the biggest issues within the community, mainly poverty and unemployment. And so that's what we're really looking to accomplish. No, we're not looking to displace anybody. Nobody should be displaced on this. This should just be a tremendous anchor to build up all of the neighborhoods.
And Senator Ferguson, Stronach has said that they will run the Preakness at Pimlico next year, 2020. Is that kind of laying down a gauntlet? I mean, they picked this date, you know, a year or two ago. Is this basically saying, you know, you got to fix this for us and then we're done? Or where do you stand? How do you assess the status of negotiations?
Well, what we know is that the racetrack at Laurel couldn't handle the Preakness today. And we also seemingly know that the Stronach Group does apparently not have the private funds, can't issue private bonds sufficient enough to make Laurel capable of handling. So it appears that regardless for the Preakness to stay in Maryland, that public money will have to be used. And the question is where. What I've been really focused on is how do we find a way that it's a win-win? You know, I don't want to hold back Laura. I don't want to hold back Bowie. But you can't do it on the backs of Pimlico and the community surrounding Pimlico. You know, to Clem's question, I wish we were able to have a conversation about how do we prevent displacement and gentrification. Unfortunately, what we know right now is that we are looking at the possibility of an 8-foot fence chaining 180 acres in the center of Park Heights. When I've had conversations, we negotiated a compromise bill out of the Senate this last session. The Stronach Group will say that they have plans, that they have, you know, they'll show boxes on a piece of paper that, but we've never seen a financing plan. We've never seen a real commitment. There's no evidence in the Stronach Group's history that they've done this type of development ever anywhere. So, you know, this isn't a shopping mall. This is the heart and soul of a community. And we just haven't had the certainty or surety that there is a real plan here. What we know is that the Preakness should be run in Baltimore. And that is the thing that I think at the end of the day, it is the private entity who has received hundreds of millions of dollars of public subsidy over the years that has an obligation to figure this out. All of us stand willing and ready to partner, but it is on the private entity. This idea that it is the city or state that owes the duty to a private company to figure out their problem, that's bogus. It is bonkers. And I just think this sort of soft glove approach that we've had, you know, I will sit down and negotiate with anyone. You know, they say they're willing to negotiate and then they say they won't because of a lawsuit. This is too important, and the city of Baltimore is in too precarious of a place for us to take this lightly. And, you know, I think it's time to make a move here.
Doug Donovan, I want to give you the last word. We have 30 seconds left. Tolstoy famously said that every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. The Stronach family is not a very happy family. They're from Canada. They are the family that owns this company. What's the latest on the internecine battle going on within the Stronachs?
Well, it's a father and daughter battle, essentially. Is it Frank Stronach was the father and Belinda is the daughter, right? And they've been, you know, engaged in a lawsuit about, you know, control of the company. So that may play a part in all of this. We don't know for sure, but it does open a lot of questions about the future of the company.
So they're suing each other. The city of Baltimore is suing them. Everybody's suing everybody else. And we will pursue this story as it continues. And I appreciate all of you guys coming in and talking about it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Councilman Yitzi Schleifer represents District 5 on the Baltimore City Council. Senator Bill Ferguson represents Baltimore City in the Maryland Senate. And Doug Donovan is an investigative reporter at the Baltimore Sun. That's it for us today. Join us tomorrow. We'll talk about the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra's abrupt decision to cancel its summer concert series. I'll speak with Peter Chomey, the BSO's president and CEO, as well as Brian Prechtel and Greg Mulligan of the BSO Players Committee, as well. Nicholas Cohen of the Maryland Citizens for the Arts will join us. That's coming up tomorrow on Midday. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends. You can find them on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. Stay tuned for Here and Now. That's coming up right after the NPR newscast at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.